Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's podcast. This is Garth Nelson.
And Hungover Jen Barr.
Hungover Jen Barr. We have one other hungover, which is Troy Presley, our mighty producer.
Woo!
And special guest, Alyssa. Hey, Alyssa.
Hello, Garthy.
Alyssa. Alyssa is my cousin, and she says my real name. Garthy, yes, just like my parents would say, so yes, now the secret is out. Fortunately, she forgot my middle name, so you won't get that, too.
I didn't forget it.
Oh, no.
I know, I saw your driver's license.
Oh, that's trouble. All right, I'll try to forget that subject then. So yes, we like to have a little random talk about non-Mahjong stuff sometimes. My cousin, Alyssa, is here from China. You live in China?
China.
Where in China again?
South of Shanghai.
South of Shanghai, in a city called what?
Beilun.
Beilun. For all of our listeners in Beilun, give a shout out to you guys. Thanks
Ningbo.
For picking up some
Ningbo.
Oh yes, that's the other big city nearby.
Wait, does Beilun fall under the special region of Shanghai, or is it outside of that?
It's outside of that.
Okay.
It falls under Ningbo.
Okay. So you don't you have the restrictions and stuff on internet and all that?
Oh yes. No Facebook, YouTube, MySpace.
No, nothing, it sounds like. Jeez, what can you do on a computer over there?
Oh, yeah, no porn either.
I can't believe that. Why would you even buy a computer over there?
We don't need to have a computer anymore.
Okay, yeah, so obviously that's enough about China then. how have you enjoyed your stay in Japan so far? What have you done?
Went to Hiroshima, Kyoto, and Tokyo.
And Tokyo, okay. What's been your favorite place so far?
Hiroshima.
Hiroshima was your favorite?
Hiroshima, yeah.
Hiroshima. Okay, what did you like about Hiroshima?
The museum was really, really good.
I guess this is the museum devoted to the atomic bomb attack.
Yes, and it's only 50 yen. It's the cheapest thing in Japan.
Holy cow, that is amazing. You can't get half a beer for that, even at the supermarket. Those little tiny one-sip beers. I mean, those are more than 50 yen, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
So you're like, should I get a 50 yen beer, or should I go to the Holocaust? Or the
yeah, the atomic bomb.
The other one.
Yeah.
Garth, you haven't been to Hiroshima before?
I did actually go to Hiroshima once when I was working for SMA Station and hung out for an extra little afternoon to check out that stuff. Have you been?
Yes.
Yes, it's one of those things, just to make the podcast a little heavy for a second, it's one of those things that I think all Americans should see, just, you know, since we like to go to war with people. I think it's something we should see to see what the result of war is sometimes. It's a pretty heavy place.
Yeah.
What did you think of it while you were there, Alyssa?
It was just amazing to see. They have so much information and very extensive about everything. About the bombing, about how the bombs are made, about the people, all the
victims,
dedications. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All the cranes that schools have made and bring to the park, and they display it and have it in a database as to what schools have was from and how many cranes they made. And
these are like paper cranes that they made that supposedly help.
You're supposed to make 1,000 or something if you have a wish, I think it is.
Sadako Sasaki.
And I kind of remember that story. Like some girl had leukemia or some kind of cancer that she got from the bomb, and so she was trying to cure herself with a wish.
Right. I guess her wish or whatever is to get better. So everybody at her school and stuff were making the cranes, and she was making them in the hospital bed and stuff like that.
Yes, it is a heavy place. Yes. So Hiroshima. But you're back from Hiroshima.
Yes.
Back in Tokyo to lighten things up.
But the Japanese people are so friendly. So friendly. They have helped me on the street because I was traveling by myself, and they just walk up to me, and they ask me where I need to go, and
in English.
In English.
Wow.
And because I don't even say anything. Oftentimes I just have the dazed look on my face, and then they walk up and help me out. They would never do that in China, or at least they run away. They look at me and then they run away.
They've probably all been watching Monty Python. They're like, oh, run away. Oh, goodness. All right. Well, that's our quick, random, non-Mahjong stuff from Alyssa. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go into news for the week for Mahjong. Big thing this week was League. Japan Professional Mahjong League started this week.
Yes.
It's the beginning of the whole year season. Some of us will have two seasons because we play half a year at a time. Whereas the A-Leagues, they have just the whole one-year season. Let's see. Let's start at the top. Do you know who's at the top?
Nope.
Good old Maehara. He fell out of the number one position. he had held for 2 years running, right?
Yeah.
So now he has to jump back into the normal A1 league, where he has to play each league session for the rest of the year. What does that guy do but jump right up into first place with 113?
Oh, my God. That's huge.
Which, yeah. And not only is that just huge, that's unbelievable for A1.
I know.
They never have scores like that in A1, you know?
Well, they're all, like, so good.
Yeah.
But
it's just, you know, how are you going to end up with a win that big?
Right.
Apparently, you end up with a win that big by drawing Tsuiso. What do we call that in English? That's all honors?
Yeah.
All honors. He drew an all honors hand.
Wow. You know, I think that one of his, I can't remember if it was him, but I think it was, one of his claims to fame is that he has won with every single Yakumon, every single limit hand in a public tournament, like a public game.
No way.
I can't remember if it was him or not, but I'm pretty sure it was him.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, all the Yakumon that we've never even seen anywhere.
Yeah.
And he's managed to do them in a public tournament.
Yeah.
Or league or whatever.
Oh, we call Koshiki-sen, so...
Right.
Yeah, like a...
Wow, that is amazing. So, and, you know, I was playing with him last night, too, and you know what I've come to conclude about that guy is that he does not suck.
It's very nice of you.
He's pretty amazing. He's really, really far from sucking. About as far as anybody I've seen play. He was watching us play, and then I think he decided he wanted to play a little bit, so he jumped in. Immediately, he's up. Like, he's got, like, 50,000 points. Next thing that happens, last night, I drew Sue Uncle. Four concealed triples.
Wow, nice.
Jumped me right back in the lead. After I'd thrown 8,000 to him, and then he drew 6,000 all. I drew Suanko. Whoop, blam! I'm up to like 48,000. He's down to 44,000. Next thing you know, he's back up to 50,000. I'm back down to 20,000. Holy cow! How does this happen? I drew a limit hand and I still finished that game third place.
Wow.
Yes. So I quit after that. They're like, "Oh, Garth, do you want to play some more?" I was like, "No, that game really tired me out." But that's A1.
Probably should have quit right after the four concealed triples hand. Well, I'm too tired to finish this game.
Let's call it a game. Obviously, the game finishes when I draw four concealed triples. No shugi for that. What do we call it? No bonus for in Sparta. But anyway. Also interesting, in second place is Sawazaki, after having just jumped up to A1 last year from A2. He jumps into second place with a plus 34.
Yeah, I've heard like his game is really on lately. Like other people have made comments about it, but he's really on his game.
It is
the past
really
year. So
yeah, it's really interesting, and that brings me to a point that I was going to talk about in B1. But it's really fun to watch people who are on their game.
Mm.
Like it's a good player, and they're playing well, and they're hitting. And it's just like, wow, look at that! That is just awesome.
It was like me on Wednesday. We're going to talk about that later, right?
Oh, yes, we can talk about that
how
later,
we played
yes.
this week? Okay, cool. I'll stop stepping on your schedule.
Absolutely not. No, you can jump in anytime, because otherwise I'll just talk too much. And then somebody who, you know, is obviously another great player but is kind of faltering at the moment is, you know, he had a great result at the end of last season but then starts off the season this year bad, Arasan. He had a minus 62, which puts him in 12th place in the bottom of A1. And it's, I wonder, like, he's started off every season lately kind of weak, and then somehow at the end of it he just pulls it out, and you're like, wow, that guy is good too. And it'll be interesting to see if he manages to, like, you hear a lot of rumblings about, oh, he's going to retire soon, he's getting old, he's going to retire, he's going to get old, and he keeps pulling it out at the end of the season. I always root for Arasan. Just he's fun to watch. He's an exciting. He's our only still living Mahjong legend.
Yeah.
That's competing.
In the A leagues. Wait, is Ito, Yuko Ito is not in the leagues anymore?
He's still there, but
I think he's kind of quiet lately, but he's up there.
He has a history too. Yeah. Another living legend. Yes, yeah, so moving on from A1, in A2, Yamai, another player that I like to follow just because one of the things I like about him is he's noted as being a really defensive player. And when I first started going to Sparta, it was really funny for me how we would be playing and he would kind of he would fold a hand. And Moriyama would be like, oh, you are so wimpy. You are so lame. How could you do that? That's why you don't win. And I'm thinking, dude, he's in A2. What is he talking about, you don't win?
Yeah, he's pulling second places at tournaments.
Yeah.
That's why he gets second.
But, I mean, seriously, it's not like he's a losing player, you know? And Moriyama is just chapping him, like mercilessly, like, that's why you suck. Suck. Sucking up A2. What are you talking about, Moriyama? But he's really changed up his game, and he's become a lot stronger player in that he used to be the kind of player that just didn't throw anybody else's winning tile.
Right.
Lately, he throws other people's winning tiles, but he wins more. And so I think the fact that he's the kind of player that can read other people's hands and generally not throw their winning tile when he wants to not throw their winning tile, but that he has also changed up his game now so that he can attack harder.
Mm.
He is going to be a formidable presence in JPML, I think, within the next 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
That guy is going to really start kicking ass, I think. And he's a player that I think is going to be exciting to watch.
Maybe we should get an interview of him on the site.
That's not a bad idea. And he's a really nice guy, too.
Yeah, you should work that out.
Right,
I don't like to work anymore.
And speaking of players that play extremely defensively, is another one would be Fujiwara. And he is somebody I don't think is going to be changing his game much in the future. And he is he's dropped down to 15th place. He started out the last season that way, too, and he did manage to pull it out and get back into the normal. He managed to stay in A2. So we'll see if... and he did, you know, he won Champions League last year, too.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like he's a bad player, but I think the way the game is changing right now, it's really difficult for defensive players, strictly defensive players, to keep winning consistently.
Yeah, the game constantly changes. I mean, the way that people play and the little rules that you kind of learn when you're playing Mahjong, like if you have this, then get rid of the side weight, you know, the single weight here and stuff.
Right.
Those things change according to how other players play, because when everybody starts following those rules, you have to do something else if you want to win.
If everybody's playing the same way, then it just becomes a matter of luck who wins playing that way, right?
Right.
So you've got to start adapting.
Yeah.
Another exciting player at the top of B1, Sarukawa, got a huge plus 93. Another really unusual thing there. You know, it's a plus 93. Those are all good players. How does he get that big? I didn't have a chance to talk to him, so I'm not sure exactly what happened. But he's another player that I think is looking really strong lately. His game is hitting. Right behind him, well, not right behind him, but in second place with a plus 20 is Aki, who we still are not sure why. She is no longer in A2, but she looks like she's trying to charge back up into A2.
You should interview Sarukawa, too.
Sorry, yes, he's another fun guy.
Yeah, why don't you do that while I'm on vacation next week?
He's another friend of ReachMahjong.com.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom of B1 is a player that we all know is a really great player, Sasaki.
Right.
He got a minus 75, which is really kind of crazy. And the thing is, it's interesting to see a player that's at the exact opposite of that spectrum that we're talking about. Everybody knows that guy is a really good player, but there's just something wrong with his game right now.
Mm.
And at Sparta, too, he just isn't... things are not working out for him. Like, he tries this play, and it doesn't work, and so then he tries another play like this, and it doesn't work. And he's just going down, down, down. Like, he lost to me when we were playing, and then he moved over to another table, and he took fourth place there. And, of course, at the end of the day, the fourth place player in Sparta ends up having to clean the tiles for the day. And so then everybody started teasing him about the fact that lately he seems to be cleaning the tiles a lot. Yeah, and he got pissed, too. He's just like, oh, man, now I'm pissed.
I cannot imagine him angry, to be honest.
I know. Yeah, I mean, you know,
he's
still...
He's such a quiet person, yes, usually.
It's just the way... It's just Sasaki being angry. The way he's going to be angry, you know, he's like, well, now I'm pissed.
You know, so he actually said it.
He said, nanka mugatsukune.
Oh. I agree.
But, you know, his game's a little off right now, and it'll be interesting to see if he can turn things around in the middle of this season to stay in B1. He was a contender to move up to A2,
yeah,
not even just a whole season ago, and now he's in large danger right off the bat of moving down to B2. Speaking of B2, the player who just moved into B2 as a result of him winning the special league that we were both in last year, Yoshida,
right,
also had a big minus, big 77, minus 77 to take last place in B2. I'm interested to see if he is going to turn things around and be one of the Tokusho, the special league winners who manages to sort of, I don't know, prove that he earned that spot.
Mm.
We're about half and half right now. Like, half of the people that have won special league have stayed in at least B2 or moved up to B1. And the other half have moved down to C1 or C2. And so... we'll see how he does.
Yeah, you know that he used to be in JPML. He quit once and he rejoined, which is why he was in the lower leagues. So
right.
I think he's actually supposed to be in the higher leagues.
He does seem like a fairly strong player, and it was nice to see that he did finally get some. Get to where he probably would have been had he just stayed in the league all that time anyway. But he's a little bit out of his form for B2. So we'll see if he can get it back by the end of the season. Another friend of ReachMahjong.com in C1 at near the top, second place, is Konno. Another player that I think is, you know, definitely plays in the Yamai and Fujiwara style, like a very defensive player. I think he may be trying to change his game up a little bit too, to adapt to the way people are attacking a lot more than they used to. He got a big plus 79, so he is in second place for C1, and if he can keep that up, he will be able to move back into B2.
I feel like one thing that maybe affected Kono's game last season would be that he suddenly got really busy, and
oh,
he wasn't before. He took over the accounting job at JPML.
That's right, he does seem to have a lot more responsibility for JPML these days.
Right, so he took over the accounting job, so he was, you know, busy with that during all the league sessions.
Uh-huh.
And then he started getting a whole bunch of study sessions that he had to teach at and things like that. So,
uh-huh,
yeah, it was really, I think it was really probably tough for him to adapt to it.
Uh-huh.
So maybe he's finally got everything kind of organized and feeling better. I'm not sure.
He can relax and focus on playing Mahjong again. Let's hope he can put himself back in B2. And in C1, this is going to be an interesting season to watch C1. There are a lot of names that we like to follow there. Kurosawa Saki, she's in 20th. Kamimura, our buddy from Sentenbo, is at 22nd. And Kozue had a rough session. She is in 31st. One other person towards the top of C1, Nakata, a girl that I have seen at a lot of final tables and generally does well in tournaments. She is in 4th place, and she's another person that I think is going to be a fairly formidable force in JPML when she really gets her game going. She is a strong player. She made it to the final table of OE,
right?
King, the King, whatever we call OE in English.
We call it OE, OUI.
Yes, and I think she made it pretty far in Masters, and I think she also made it to the final table or best 8 in Champions too. And she was also towards at least to the top of like Pro Queen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She was at, and you know, I talked to her at, I think we're at like a New Year's party or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was really funny because her New Year's resolution was to start drinking.
Wow, why didn't I think of that?
Well, she had quit smoking. So she said, I think I'm going to start drinking now.
Needing a new one.
She's really fun. She's a really nice person. I've been at the table with her a lot in like women's league and stuff like that. So
she's a strong player. Yeah. It's gonna be fun to watch. And another person that we like to watch at the top of her league in C3 is Izumi. She got a plus 82 to take the first place in C3. Way to go, Izumi. Towards the top of D1, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, don't know those names. Number 5 is Garth! Hey, there's a name we know.
Garth is not even supposed to be in D1, that jerk. God.
3 times in a row now, I have actually fallen out of D1, except for the fact that enough people quit that I was able to stay in D1.
Yeah.
That trick works great for me and not quite so well for our
Right, because
Jen.
I only dropped down once. I've moved up twice of my own strength. And the one time that I dropped down because I had one bad session. Seriously, it was just one session. I was okay, and then I got a minus 100 in one session.
Ugh.
And it dropped me down, and yep, no Jen getting saved. Only Garthy getting saved.
That jerk. Speaking of that jerk, on the very first hand of the first game of our season, I drew another 4 concealed triples hand.
Wow!
Awesome, and it was a really expensive hand anyway, because it was a full flush hand plus east and my win. So it would have been at least 12,000 points anyway, even if somebody had thrown it.
Wow! Nice.
I didn't reach. Had I reached, I don't think I could have gotten it up to Baimon, even if I reached. So yeah, I didn't reach, and then whoop, and this guy kept pulling tiles, and kept like calling for tiles, and it kept bringing me new things that added to my hand. And then the last time he did it, woo, I win.
Nice.
Except that right before he did it, the first thing that I drew after he did it was another Dora, which I had just thrown. It looks like, oh God, this really doesn't look good for me. And then the next thing I drew was my winner.
Nice. Someone at my table got 13 orphans.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it feels like lately there has been a lot of Yakuman. It's kind of a weird. There's Yakuman in the air. Limit hands in the air.
Yeah, I got 4 concealed triples on Monday when I was playing.
At work?
Yep. I was playing Sentenbo, Kamimura's Parlor.
Very
in
nice.
In Kinshicho, and I got 4 concealed triples. I didn't have a good day, like a great day, but. That win carried me through the rest of the day, so that was my only first place, but I still ended up positive for the day.
Oh, very nice. And you get a bonus for that, too, there, yeah?
Yeah. We were playing 30 yen, so I got a 300 yen bonus from each person.
But, you know, it's the feeling. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, but I was dealer, so it was big.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think is interesting about your current place in D1, you are 12th. Ahead of 3 people with higher scores than you. Would you care to explain how you finagled that? Just complaining about Garth hanging out in D1 even though he can't be there.
It's just good to be Jen. That's what Troy always tells me.
Well, the weird explanation that we seem to have for this is that you lost 5 points.
No, 10.
10 points.
Yeah.
By being like a few minutes late, right?
Yeah, well, my cell phone decided that it wanted to take a little trip.
So it went off to Tokyo Station.
It went to Tokyo Station, yeah. And I had to track it down. So I found it, and I had to go spring it from its captivity at Tokyo Station. So obviously, since I didn't have my phone, I couldn't look up the train times. And I had no way to call anybody and tell them I was going to be late. So
I see.
I went and grabbed the phone, and then I was 6 minutes late. Ugh. And of course, that runs up to 10 minutes. So I got a 10-point penalty.
Wow. That sucks.
But I had a really good attitude, so I think I did good for the day.
Yeah, the really interesting thing about that is that while the 10 points was actually deducted from your score, you still got ranked as if you had those 10 points. So you are 12th ahead of 3 people who have higher scores than you.
Nice.
Which is really weird. I wonder if they're going to keep ranking you that way the whole way through the season, and then like suddenly you're in that group of people that moves up, even though...
That would be awesome.
That would be pretty, pretty weird.
I would so, like... Shove that in your face.
Yeah. one other name that I think is that I do like to watch, just because she has also been, despite the fact that she's in D2, she's in second place. Fuji Sumire. Do you know who Sumire is?
I have heard of her.
She was in. She started Special League with us last season.
Right.
Until the second day where I kicked her out. basically all by myself. She has been also in, like, towards the final table in a lot of tournaments, and I think she's going to be another exciting name to watch when she starts figuring out her game a little bit better.
Okay, are we going to talk about our weekend mahjong?
Yes, that was our league wrap up. I talked forever about the names in our league.
I know, that's why we had to go to once a week, by the way, guys, because when we tried to do 30 minutes every month,
yes,
Garth spent 35 minutes talking about league.
People I like talking about, sorry. there are a lot of exciting players.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, our week in Mahjong. You worked a couple days at Sentembo.
Yeah, so I started out with league, and then I went to Sentembo on Monday and Tuesday. Monday, I got the limit hand, and then so I went on Tuesday feeling good.
Uh-huh.
And I proceeded to lose 6 out of 8 games. Fourth place in 6 out of 8 games, and I was ready to quit mahjong then. and I was texting you the whole time.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
I was like, Garth, I really am not good at this game, and you were very, very encouraging.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, these streaks happen. Sometimes you win 5 or 6 games in a row, and sometimes you have to lose them too.
And then the next day, I gave a speech actually about being a mahjong pro.
Oh yes,
to the Rotary Club. That was pretty exciting.
That does sound pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you find some players? Did some people think that they seemed like they were more interested in playing mahjong after you talked to them?
Yeah. Actually, a lot of people, I guess, really liked mahjong. So I was there talking, and, you know, there's some older people in the crowd, like much older people, and especially the ones in the
you
back.
You don't mean like my age, do you?
I'm talking about, like, there's probably some 60, 70-year-olds in the...
Oh, wow, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a Rotary Club, right? So there's a... quite
oh,
a vast
right.
age difference.
Okay.
There's people all the way from 30s to about probably 70 or something.
This was the young Rotary Club that you... But it was both together?
No, just the older, the normal okay. Rotary Club. Oh. The Rotor Act Club, I might go speak at another time as a result of this. But I went... So I was giving the speech, and of course all I can see is the two guys in the back that just finished their big lunch from the Rotary Club, and they're ready for their nap. So I see these guys, I'm like, oh crap, I'm really boring. And then afterwards, everyone was like, wow, that was really good, it was really interesting. So,
wow, that's cool.
A lot of people.
Hope we can get some people interested in playing. Maybe they'll come out to the ReachMahjong.cup.
Hope so.
There, I did it again, the ReachMahjong.cup.
You should just officially change the name.
I told you I like that name.
A website. All right. All right. Oh, and then we did have a fun little set time with some friends of ours that recently joined our group.
Yeah, that was really fun.
On Wednesday, yes.
I had a really good time.
It's really fun to put some more sets together.
Yeah.
It's fun to play with just friends instead of walking to a random mahjong parlor and then, I don't know, if you go to the same parlor enough, you tend to know a lot of the people that you play with anyway, but I don't know, set is fun.
Yeah.
One other piece of news that I found on mahjongnews.com, there was an article written by Alan Kwan, who created the rule set.
Yeah, for World Series of Mahjong.
For the World Series of Mahjong. And he was kind of writing about the World Series of Mahjong rules. And he cited an example of a piece and double run hand, but that he was trying to show the, I don't know, how you would decide whether you want to go for a more expensive hand or a quicker hand, the ways that you would make that sort of decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said that one of the things that they didn't figure was the fact that this could lose out to another hand, the normal just expected value way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that this normal hand could possibly be the chicken hand, which I thought was interesting because when we played in the World Series 2 years ago, the chicken hand was not a valid hand, right? You needed at least one hand point, one valid hand in the hand to be able to win on it, like piece or double run or something.
Right.
You had to have one of those hands. It couldn't just be a normal combination of any, you know, triples and or whatever and a head.
Right.
Do you know if they've changed the rules for this year?
As far as I know, they still are not allowing the chicken hand.
Okay, God, I would sure hope not, because that really, really, I don't know, cheapens the game.
Yeah.
It makes it a much, much less challenging game, and I think it really favors players that play absolutely no defense at all.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense in the Taiwanese game since there's so few hand points. There's
right.
so few possible hand points, and there's so many more tiles.
Right.
I mean, 3 more tiles, but So it may...
Completing a hand there is a little bit more difficult.
Right, so it makes a little bit more sense in that game with the 13-tile game. I don't like the chicken hand.
Yeah. It's. I really would hope that the World Series sticks to its trend, at least as of 2 years ago, not using the chicken hand.
It could be that he wrote the article before and it was just posted.
That's possible too. Yes.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But
yes, he's writing a. It's a series of part of a series of articles, I guess, on the on World Series of Mahjong rules strategy.
Oh, I see.
So it's an interesting read, definitely for people who are thinking about playing in the World Series of Mahjong.
Good. Take a look. Our new website is also going to have a Mahjong news feed on it, so you'll be able to see the Mahjong news links and click on them from our website as well.
All right. Very good. All right. That is more than enough talk about the world of Mahjong, or at least what happened in Mahjong this week. Strategy talk. Try to shorten it up a little, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, this topic is, it kind of gets long. Maybe we want to save it to a non-league week.
A non-league week? All right. So then
or we can just talk about part of it.
Okay.
I guess, okay, introduce it.
All right, so I'll introduce the idea. We got a letter from a friend of the site. I forgot his name. but he wanted to hear about, he was interested in the structure of the JPML, the Japan Professional Mahjong League.
Right.
And this, I think, might also be interesting for the people over at the United States Professional Mahjong League, who are still, you know, they're still in their infancy and maybe still wondering or thinking about how they want to structure their own league. One of his questions was, you know, how do league dues work? Mm-hmm. Does D1 and D2, do D1 and D2 pay the same? And you know, are all the leagues basically the same? I'll just address that question right off the bat. D1 and D2 do pay the same, but I don't know. Do you know if the higher leagues...
The higher leagues pay more.
They do have to pay more? Okay. Do you have any idea? Like,
no.
Is it like twice as much as us, or...?
No, it's listed on the... Because everybody pays the same for the use of space.
Uh-huh.
And they also... But then they have a different amount for dues and a different amount for league. So we're paying three fees when we pay. We pay $100 every month, and there's actually three fees in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
so there's a league fee and there's a which
dues.
League that we're in,
yeah.
And then the JPML dues that we also pay.
Exactly. And then we also pay for the parlor that we're playing the tournament in every month. So it's split up three ways, and the higher leagues do pay more. I can't remember where it gets. I think it's from B2 maybe you start paying more.
Uh-huh.
And I think it might also depend on what Don you are.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
I'm not sure, though. I could be wrong about that. I mean, obviously, you have to buy the Don license, the grade license.
Right.
And that costs more, but...
Yes.
It costs more the higher you go.
I do have a beautiful piece of paper now that says that I am third grade. Very, very nice.
Yes, it's nice. Exciting.
Definitely something I was excited to exchange 12,000 yen for.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we could just talk about how you become a pro? And then we can go into more of the structure next week or something, or the week after.
So yes, the process of becoming a member of the Japan Professional Mahjong League.
Right.
It may be a little bit different for the average person and us who are above average. No, different from average.
Just
non-average. we did have to take the pro test. So in general, when people want to become members of the JPML, they must take the pro test. It has a lot of questions on there about what would you discard in this situation, what would the score be for this hand, and if you had these tiles and you discarded this or that, how many tiles of which kind make you a ready hand. Those kind of questions about Mahjong, in addition to some rather non-Mahjong related questions about like which JPML guys are in A1 or won the big tournaments last year, which are kind of funny. Although, I guess in Japan, where it's very important to know your superiors, know to whom you have to show respect, then I guess it would be important to know those people in case you run into them and you're like, oh, hey, Mr. Much More Important Than Me. It was a little bit different for us because I think they wanted to get some unique faces into the league.
Right.
So when we joined, we did take the test, but we're not really sure how we did on the test.
Right.
It seemed to be pretty much decided before we took the test that we were going to be in the next study group that would study for another half a year and then join the league at the beginning of the next year.
Right. And now the system has changed a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So when we were in it, like, we had pretty much the biggest incoming group, I think. Either the biggest or the second biggest ever incoming group when we joined. And so a handful of people passed the test right off the bat.
Uh-huh.
And they did a different study session than us. And they started league in the spring. And then the majority of the group went to a special study session, I guess uh-huh. it was, that we went to as well.
Right.
For 6 months. And then we started in the spring as well. But there are two groups. So there's one group that passed, and the other group had to prove themselves before they passed. But pretty much everybody passed from our group.
Yeah, that's what I remember, too.
Now, they have to take another test after 6 months. So they take the test in September. If you pass, then you're in for the next spring, I think. And then if you don't pass, you have to take another test in the spring. And if you pass that, you can start in the spring with other people as well, after you've studied for 6 months. If you don't pass, you have to do another 6-month study session.
Wow.
And you may be able to join in the fall.
In the fall.
And so during that time, the only tournament you can play in is Champions League.
Oh, really? So, but you could also play, like, in the amateur leagues, the amateur qualifiers for
You could,
Masters.
Except for this year, so, the Masters amateur qualifier is the same day as their study session, so they actually aren't going to be able to play in that.
Ouch.
Yeah, so you theoretically you could play at that, but they're allowed to play in the Pro Champions League.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, I remember some of the students from last year playing in Champions League.
Right.
So yes, the process for getting into the Japan Professional Mahjong League has become a little bit more difficult. I think there's a lot of competition since we joined.
Yeah.
A lot more people have decided they want to join JPML. So yes, that's just the beginning of the discussion about the structure of JPML. I guess when we have more time next week, we can address that further. Let's wrap it up, because I have talked for quite some time now. let's see, what's coming up? This weekend, it's going to be an exciting
week. I have North Kanto.
You have North Kanto? Okay.
Yep.
Is that the first session of the season? Okay. Do you know, what are the names to watch this this season around?
Well, as always, there's Fujisaki
plays up
who
there.
Who plays in MFC, and also Yoshida Yukio, or Yukio Yoshida, who also plays in MFC. They're the big pros there. They're both in A1, A2.
Does Sawazaki also play in that, or no?
Yes.
He does.
Sawazaki. And there's a few other pros. I'm sure there will be more people this year than there were last year. A lot of people joined the second half of last year, and there will be a lot more people to watch, so I'll let you know.
Okay. Aisawa also plays up there, too, yeah? Speaking of Aisawa, we played at her mahjong parlor on Wednesday.
Oh, and Kaori Shimizu as well.
Kaori Shimizu. Oh, yeah, Shimizu.
She's the one who got me into the, convinced me to join the North Kanto League.
Very nice, very nice. Yes. When I have a little more time, I think I might like to join the North Kanto League myself. But I can't do it this year because I will be playing in the Special League, which starts this weekend. That's one of my things this weekend. And I will also start Champions League this weekend, too, which starts for everybody else this week. Yes, thank you.
I'm off to Malaysia on Monday, so I'm going to skip Champions this month and start on it next month.
Start next month. Yep. Very nice. Well, I hope you have fun in Malaysia. I hope you had fun and for the rest of your 1.5 days here in Japan.
Woohoo!
Alyssa.
Yes, Alyssa.
The pointing does not translate well.
That's right,
podcast.
Did you everybody see me pointing at my cousin there? let's see, do you have any plans for the rest of your time here?
I like to go to a mahjong parlor.
A mahjong parlor, all right. Well, I'll have to drag you into one of those.
Can you guys work that out?
Yeah.
I know
I'll see
a
if
few.
I can find one. I'm not sure. yes, any words for any travelers that might be coming to Japan? Something you recommend that they see?
Come to Tokyo and have some fun.
Yes, that is good advice. Although they can't quite have the same fun you did because we had the cherry blossoms at this part of the season.
And that was beautiful.
It is very, yes.
If you come tomorrow, you'll still be able to see some.
Yes, you can still walk along the river next to my house, and they will all be falling into the river and flying in your face.
Cherry blossom parties were interesting. They were fun.
Yes, it's good. Always a good time. And it's a good time for like 2 weeks. Wow, it's been a rough 2 weeks. Of
lots of partying for Garthy.
Perhaps a little too much fun for me. All right, so that wraps up my 2 weeks of fun and our podcast for this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. My address is Garthe, G-A-R-T-H-E, at reachmahjong.com. And your address?
Jen, J-E-N-N, at reachmahjong.com.
And you can feel free to call me Garth or even my real name, Garthy. Like my cousin says. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you and talk to you again next week.
Yep, see you later.場所はかなり寂れたジャズ麻雀ワイドクラブ